For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It is a Patriots Friday, and should he be cleared to play, should the New England Patriots start Drake May on Sunday, you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Monday, we will be at Gillette Stadium, and we will be joined, as we always are on Patriots Mondays, by Boomer Esiason and by Gerard Mayo Monday morning on this show. Also, 1 week from today, we are heading to the American Heritage Museum in Hudson and partly in Stowe, my home continent, for a Flex Friday broadcast as we celebrate those who have served this country. And our Lunch with a Hero is happening on Friday, a week from today. But we would love to see you all morning long at the American Heritage Museum and take in the show, and there will be all of our heroes that are going to lunch will be there that morning, and you can say thanks, and I think here's some great stories from those who have served this country, whether it was, in the case of Joe Landry, World War II, or Korea, or like your grandfather.
Yep, Korea.
Served in Korea.
Greg, the Civil War.
Correct, yes, Curtis, thank you. And so I hope you'll all come out a week from today and join us at the American Heritage Museum. But right now, back to Courtney and the rest of... Oh, and Curtis has a game that Shime and Courtney can play at 8:30 this morning. Right, yes. Curtis?
Yep. Yes, could okay. Greg Excited. Use it?
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Wallet is the first one.
Okay. Right now, Courtney and the rest of today's news.
And Greg, you've been teasing it, but bad news for Wiggy. A dozen cruise ship passengers were sickened by Legionnaire's disease, including 10 who had to be hospitalized. It happened on two different ships, which is concerning. Health experts believe the serious pneumonia-like sickness came from the private balcony hot tubs.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Love a good private balcony hot tub.
I'm sure you do.
Ireland
doesn't love a hot tub?
Greg, Ireland was sick for a month after you guys left.
Doesn't love a good hot
but
tub.
But does that mean they're just not cleaning them properly?
Yeah, they don't get as much attention as the public ones.
Right. Oh.
Gross.
That
ones
is
that
disgusting.
Are next to the main pool.
I mean, I guess one could argue that maybe more nefarious things are occurring in the private ones than
that
in the
true.
Public ones. And uh-huh. thereby...
There's drop a little bleach in there before you get in.
Yeah, bodily fluids.
The germ soup is right. allowed to warm to a temperature that creates problems for those who might get in it later. I
thought it would kill anything in there.
There's germs
like
everywhere.
It's so hot. Night, but that's hot tubs are, you know, right. at a temperature that I thought it would just kill off any germs.
Germs are everywhere. Didn't I send you something about the... Maybe weights at gyms are like the dirt. So it's like if you're going to live your life scared of germs, like
anything you touch is full of fecal matter.
Yeah, so it is. Just make sure you're washing your hands. If you're like me, who's a nail biter, I stay with.
You don't bite your nails in the hot tub.
No. I'm a nail biter.
Other things.
But I have the hand sanitizer everywhere. I wash my hands all the time. I can't take my fingernails looking dirty. So just wash your hands.
You and Mrs. Wiggins should bring your bathing suits to Echelon tonight because the hot tub.
Is everybody bringing their suits?
But there is a hot tub.
It's a nice hot tub too.
So
okay,
I think the weather's going to be very nice.
Is it a nice big hot tub?
Yeah. Yes. Right.
The guests of Echelon would request that Greg not wear his birthday suit.
All right, we'll be there. We'll pull up.
Okay.
Very exciting.
Is there a DJ?
Yep.
Oh there is.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think we're gonna we were gonna give create a little list and everybody 10 minutes on the aux.
Okay.
For music. We don't have the, it's not in the budget for a DJ.
Okay.
I mean, you guys are splurging on other parts of this party.
Yes.
Ford Motors said yesterday that it is temporarily halting production of their F-150 Lightning pickup truck until 2025 because consumers seem to not want the electrical vehicles.
Nope.
Huh.
Ford will pause manufacturing on November 15th and will resume on January 6th, but they're saying no one's buying the electric trucks.
Oh, this is a shocker. No. So those who drive trucks don't want an electric truck.
Yeah. Well, the Lightning truck is pretty nice from Ford, the F-150.
Is it surprising to anybody?
No.
No, especially when they make it ungodly expensive. Right. Of course nobody's going to buy it.
And it's too difficult with the charging stations
everywhere. No charging stations.
Yeah, it's just...
When are they building the charging stations, Curtis? They've been promising that. They put billions in the budget to build the charging stations. Right. There's no charging stations.
It feels like, I don't know, call me crazy, you'd want to build the infrastructure before you set goals for everybody to use the cars. No?
It'll just... I was talking to this Uber driver. He had a Tesla. It just doesn't work. There are not enough charging stations where they're like gas stations. And how long does it take to... I can go fill my truck up and it takes me 7 minutes, five minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, the charging takes forever. I don't think we'll ever get to that point until they can have like 5 minute charging.
And I would just ask this, and I hate rich people getting richer, believe me. And we all hate oil money, right? That's like the biggest no-no. The people that run big oil companies are the worst, right, Greg?
Yes.
Why does nobody talk about the profit margins for all these green energy boondoggles?
I don't.
For all the billions of dollars we've given companies to build 3 electric charging stations.
Yeah.
Why isn't that bad?
It's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you're not going to be able to get your Ford Lightning for quite some time. Yeah. So you'll have to go diesel.
Yep. Science is proving that the Jesus fish miracles may have actually happened.
Really?
Yeah. So new research has given a plausible scientific basis for 2 of Jesus Christ's most iconic and biblically recorded miracles, both when Jesus created a surplus of fish when his disciples didn't have any food left.
Yeah, didn't he turn 2 fish into a giant fish fry?
Yes.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Was he on the grill or was somebody else on the grill?
I'm sure somebody else took over for him. Okay. But the study shows that a mass fish killing happened due to lack of oxygen in the water, which potentially could have allowed for historic numbers of fish dying and rising to the surface.
It coincidentally happened while Jesus was there saying, I'm going to turn, or he took advantage of the opportunity.
I mean, said, do people say what came first?
Right.
The chicken or the egg.
Okay.
What
are you shaking your head about?
Look, as someone who grew up Catholic, went to a Catholic high school, I would like to just point out that the Bible is a book. It is not fact.
Uh-oh.
It is a book.
Did you not listen to what it says?
From heresy.
It's heretic. Far away.
Heretic.
Confirmed Catholic. It is a book.
You're one of those people. It's man-made, so it's written. Stay away. 2 things stay away from, Shine. Politics and religion.
The study also is saying what time of year these events happen. Yep. They believe it most likely occurred in the late spring or early summer because the temperature change in the water brings more dead fish to the surface.
We have actual audio of Jesus when all of the fish floated to the top of the surface of the body of water.
Something is up in the ocean right now.
Yeah. Yep, that's what Jesus said.
Yep, probably.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. And then scientists have also deciphered the world's oldest map. They believe it may lead to the location of where Noah's Ark was.
What?
Yeah, this is crazy.
Back to back?
Yeah. The 3,000-year-old artifact has been being studied for the last month.
I'm watching this on Twitch. Who's 3,000 years old, the map or the dude that's holding it?
The map. Okay.
I think that's you, actually.
So that's the actual 3,000-year-old map?
Yes.
And they've deciphered where Noah's Ark is.
Well, yes, they believe that this is going to lead them to Noah's Ark. They think that written on the back is clear references to stories in the Bible. And they believe that the artifact acts as a key to show where Noah's Ark is.
Back-to-back Bible stories.
Shime, this confirms it for me. We are an alien sim. And ooh, this is the most difficult challenge that the aliens are playing. This is like the remote control helicopters in Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Oh, this is nice. What it is. This is a sim. And some alien up there, his character is that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he has deciphered, he is passing this. That might be the last challenge of the alien sim.
Oh, he might complete it? Just 100% it?
100%.
It's wow.
It's the Find Noah's Ark sim in the game Earth.
So what happens?
In the video game Earth, which is being played by aliens right now on their green computers.
Well, so then I asked you, Greg, what happens when you 100% the game Earth? Does the world end?
Yeah, probably.
Or does it just go on as if nothing happened?
Great question. And nobody's been able to get the cheat codes.
So it's an unbeatable game. Maybe
it
could be one of those.
It is.
What is it? I thought Sean was going to say, all right, what happens when we find Noah's Ark? Are we supposed to, is there something there that maybe we can take advantage of?
I mean,
what are we looking for when we get there?
We're going to test the hot tubs for Legionnaires' disease. All right, what else?
I don't know if you guys saw this, but a Dodgers fan blew his hand off while celebrating the World Series win with fireworks.
Uh-huh.
Mitch has the video. We're going to cut it right before you see the hand.
Oh, okay.
That's not right. I'd like to see that. Where can I go find the
video? I don't know.
Video?
I think that's like very graphic content for Twitch.
Okay.
We can also hear the moment the firework went off.
Oh, his hand blew.
I know it did. Oh, my goodness, bro.
My goodness, bro.
Man.
What a jackass.
Yeah. In the middle of the street, too. He's lucky he didn't hurt somebody else.
Like, what are we doing?
I mean, he's got a regular, like, just the smallest of small basic lighters. He's holding the whatever firework it is. It's probably like an M80 in his hand. Where can I go see the video?
On social media.
Curtis, you see in the background, Gerrit Cole almost walked over to help him.
I don't understand the looting when you win. I will never understand it. If your team wins, why are you angry?
Not angry. It's looking for freebies.
Weird.
That's why people loot.
Weird.
People ain't looting because they're trying to terrorize the city. They're looking for freebies.
What?
All right.
But why not loot on Tuesday? Why wait for the Dodgers to win a World Series?
Because then people don't look at it as bad. It's Curtis. You've never been, you know, I mean, that's what happens when
looting. I can assure you, Curtis has never been looting. No.
No. Nope. I was firmly on the other side.
You really think people are mad like they're throwing, you know, mailboxes through window stores just to let off
some steam?
Well,
there's damage all over the place.
Right, but they're looking for the freebies.
Yeah. So then why are they damaging things that have nothing to do with the freebie?
Well, no, they're usually damaging places where they can get freebies and then sell it.
Did you see the footage in Los Angeles?
Yeah, but that's the, what's it called in the world of the magicians? That's like the smoke and mirrors. Look at all the destruction over here as we loot the Nike outlets to get the Jordans.
Well, and Courtney, correction, in the early 2000s, when Section 280 of the tax code passed, Curtis and his dad looted H&R Block.
Curtis, how do you think you get all that cool stuff at the barbershop or somebody just, hey, I got a pair of sneakers. You want them for $50?
Well, right now you can walk into an Apple store and grab anything at free random. So you don't need to wait for a team to win or blow things up.
People tend to look the other way when it's a championship.
Yeah. And I just want to end with a reminder that the clocks are getting turned back this weekend. Daylight savings ends on November 3rd when clocks get turned back 1 hour. The switch will happen at 2 a.m. local time.
An extra hour of sleep then, right?
Yeah. That's your birthday, right?
Yes. But even darker when we come in on Monday morning.
Correct.
No, brighter.
Right?
It is? It's brighter?
Yeah. Everything bumps up an hour.
Oh.
So what it is, it's 6:30 today is going to be 5:30. You know what I'm saying? So we're waiting an hour. So the sun will set at 4:30 instead of 5:30,
so
and it will rise at 6:30.
Yeah, this is why this whole thing is so stupid.
So confusing.
Like that we're still doing it. Like it's the most ridiculous thing in the world. There are states that they don't even bother doing it.
Arizona has it right.
Are they the only one? I think there's four or five states now that don't do it anymore.
Really?
Yes.
Great point of the Twitch chat. Another hour to party in Smashville for the Patriots. Not great.
I mean, that'll be nice going into the basic brunch, though, because we'll get an extra hour of sleep, correct?
Yes. Will.
You do. You get the extra hour.
It looks like just Arizona and Hawaii are the only two states, Greg.
Yeah. I mean, is there any benefit?
I like it the way it is in the spring. So however we do that, where we move the clock forward an hour, let's just keep it that way.
Yeah.
By the way, that's the way I prefer it, but I guess,
it actually blows when it starts to get dark at 4:30.
Oh, yeah, it's the worst.
4:30 in the afternoon, it's depressing.
Yeah.
So
I'm ready for bed.
I would much rather the darkness is in the morning and is extended out as opposed to, it's just...
Oh, I don't know, though, because when we're driving to work, like, there's something really great about having it get a little bit lighter.
But that's really, there's not much of that at all.
Well, like, once we get through the winter, like, in the spring,
yeah,
when you're driving on the highway, you know, the sun's rising, I like that.
I don't know. I like for the sun to be out longer and the afternoon headed into the night.
Huberman says that you should see the sun when you start your day. So,
who?
Huberman.
Who's that?
The guy that I follow for the mouth taping.
Can't you do TikTok? That anyways?
What, Shime?
Is he on TikTok?
No, Huberman's like pretty big.
But can't you see the sun when it rises?
He's like pretty big.
Courtney. Yeah.
That's why all of us have never heard of him.
No, Andrew Huberman.
But Courtney.
Andrew Huberman.
He's huge.
Well, you had to Google him to get his first name. Yeah.
No, I wanted to find out like what his actual title is. Right. He's an American neuroscientist. Right.
Obscure
and podcaster.
Reference.
He told me if I put spinach in the blender every morning when the sun comes up, I will never get sick.
Oh, can't you see the sunrise no matter what? Just get up.
Isn't he the guy that did the NyQuil chicken?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can't because we're down here in a dungeon.
Well, I mean,
so like I'm starting my work day without seeing the sun, which is not good.
Not only good. Because not there's good. No windows.
Well, no, the sun is not up when we start our show.
Greg, what was it during the pandemic where people were mooning the sun to get vitamin D? Do you remember that?
What?
Yes.
Like pulling their pants down?
Yes.
Yeah, but that it's was one just, way to get vitamin D.
It was just Ken. There were not a lot of people there.
Is that what the kids are calling it nowadays?
Getting
their vitamin D?
Oh, so many people. Hubes is the man. Don't let them put you down, Coco.
So many people.
Hubes?
Yeah.
Now we're giving him a nickname.
Rob on a golf course, who we all love. You are right.
And what else does he tell you besides seeing the sun?
He's a big cold plunge guy.
All right.
He's a big mouth tape guy.
All right. I rock with the mouth tape.
Yep. So.
All right. And he's cold plunge. I F with the cold plunge.
Yeah.
I go to Sweat House, so I go there. Get
cold
my
plunge all day.
All day. I love a good cold plunge.
Me too.
Oof. Yeah. I love a good one.
All right. Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you.
Great job. Curtis has a game to play coming up. It's kind of, did you say that it was like Ask a Boomer, sort of?
Similar. We're gonna ask Courtney, Shime, and Andrew Huberman if you could use these things in 1990 when Greg began his illustrious Marconi-winning radio career 34 years ago today.
It doesn't seem like 34 years, Curtis. It seems like it was just yesterday. But we will play that coming up next. And right now, Courtney with What is Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Bruins drop another one on the season with an 8-2 loss on the road to the Hurricanes. Swayman was in goal in the beginning. He had 16 saves in the loss, getting pulled for Korpisalo, who had 13 saves when he came in. The Celtics are in North Carolina tonight to take on the Hornets. Tip is at 7. Thursday Night Football saw the Jets bounce back against the Texans. Final score 21-13. And here in baseball, Lucas Giolito has exercised his $19 million player option for the 2025 season.
Okay.
And it's here. The prime rib dinner is back at the Nines. 16 ounces of slow-roasted USDA choice prime rib served with your choice of two sides. Available every Friday and Saturday after 4 p.m. and all day on Sunday. You gotta love the Nines.
The answer is probably because they're not going to spend the money. But when you look at the Shime, I was looking at the wagering odds.
Oh?
When it comes to Juan Soto.
Ooh,
Why are the Red Sox such long shots, Curtis? Like, why would you not be in on Juan Soto?
The same reason Ken doesn't take us out to Grill 23 to celebrate rating success.
It's budget.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
I mean, how much is he going for?
Like half a billy.
Yeah, a lot of bread.
Okay. He's willing to go.
Oh, he's willing,
I mean, he couldn't get his uniform off quick enough before he said he's willing to go anywhere.
Yeah. He's like, whoever, I'm going to the highest bidder.
Yeah, but why not? Like, go get him.
I'm all for it. Listen, you know me. I love the high-priced ticket-free agents, especially in baseball. Juan Soto, it's going to cost you $500 million. Guess what? Then maybe that helps out Ralphie Devers, because now you're able to put a guy either in front of him or behind him, whichever way you want.
They wouldn't pay future Hall of Famer Mookie Betts $300 million. They're not going to pay Juan Soto $500 million.
Do you think John Henry at any point over the last 24 hours sat down and thought about the fact that Mookie Betts has won 2 World Series trophies since they jettisoned him out of here, and that that was a homegrown guy that should absolutely still be playing in the city? Like, has he given any moment of thought to
he
that?
Mookie didn't want to be here.
Not they a second.
Mookie said he would have stayed if they gave him the deal. If they gave him the money that he wanted.
Framingham Lou was on this at the time. There was a deal on the table for $300 million plus, I believe, somewhere in that ballpark. And he didn't want to stay here because he ended up only getting, what, $340 with the Dodgers. So it was only $40 million
difference.
Right.
Over how many years? Over $4 million a year?
Well, I think they wanted 10. I think the Dodgers ultimately gave him 12. But he didn't, you know, based off of what they're saying, you know, he didn't want to be here. So who knows? Right. I mean, you're going to leave for $40 million if you really love a place.
But, Wiggy, your point would have more substance behind it if they had gone on to sign other high-priced guys since then.
They signed Devers to $300-plus million.
I'm talking about free agents.
No, but you just said homegrown.
Their salaries have gone down by years since Mookie left. No.
They're at the very bottom. I don't know if you saw the data this week. They're at the very bottom of the league when it comes to percentage of revenue that is spent on players.
Right.
With this franchise, it's only 40%.
Right. And don't judge
they're
me.
They're 11th in payroll.
But that it's percentage of revenue, Wiggy, meaning their revenue is much higher.
Yeah.
Than everybody else.
Right.
They only choose to spend 40% of it on players.
Right. Which puts them at 11th when it talks to payroll. Okay. That's where they are.
We know that's where they are. And we're saying that it's pathetic.
Granted, they've always been like in the top 10, top 5. And for the past couple of years, they've obviously changed their financial approach, which is put them right outside the top 10 in payroll.
Yeah. Watch the comeback on Netflix. Listen to John Henry rip John Harrington.
Yeah, but that's when they didn't win a World Series, Curtis. You're watching something that was, you know, 20 years ago. When you get to a new element of way, look at the Patriots. When you win 4 or 5 championships, you know, maybe it changes a little bit on how you want to spend money.
I don't know. Texter says it's going to be more like $700 million for Juan Soto. Is that what Boris is trying to get for him?
No, they're saying that number's going to be like $700 million.
Yeah, they're too busy saving that money for the NBA franchise in Vegas.
Close to Shohei money.
All right, Courtney, thank you. Curtis, did you give us the weather?
No, it's 64 degrees and cloudy, afternoon high of 75.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good one, Sean. Flashing back to 1990, that's a good one.
Figured that was one that you definitely played on the old AAF program 34 years ago.
Correct, yes. Are we going to play this game, Curtis? Oh, wait, where'd Curtis go?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Where'd he disappear to?
Emergency bathroom run?
Oh, no.
Oh, maybe.
Perhaps. Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Well, when nature calls.
When nature calls.
Can you imagine that, like, some of the people I knew were listening to you when I was a freshman in high school?
Yes.
And that's kind of interesting.
Can you imagine that my parents were probably listening to Greg when I was, like, in utero?
Oh, it's interesting.
Yes. It's interesting.
Like, maybe my uncle was listening to AAF.
Because just merely means that I am.
Were you playing Motley Crue and that kind of stuff? Yes, so my uncle was definitely listening to that.
The show was originally called The Most Music in the Morning with Greg Hill.
Wow.
Okay, good flex.
We tried to get a good 7 or 8 tunes in when we
started.
I think
that still stands true. Greg the most music in the morning on a sports radio station.
Greg also gave me like an old radio song from back in the day that was 30 minutes long, and they played it once a year. You guys would play it once a year.
This is when we were talking about The Wizard of Oz, your favorite film, which the only way to see it was to wait up on Thanksgiving evening because there was no such thing as you know, streaming. There was a song that that was called Alice's Restaurant, which was a 30-minute banger, Curtis, that used to play every Thanksgiving on the radio.
I'm sorry, you're receiving a gift from a very good friend of yours, so I'm trying to coordinate that.
A gift?
Yes.
I said no gifts, please.
I think you'll like this one. If you remember, he gave you a bottle of Barefoot wine.
Oh, gosh. What could it be?
Anyways, Jackson, please, if you didn't hear me, head up and meet the gentleman. Thank you.
So, Curtis, this game is, you have chosen this game as to be what? How does this work?
So, 34 years ago today, Greg began his radio career at WAAF in the mornings, ruining the life of Ruby Cheeks. And he has since won many awards. Yes. He went and talked sports and has found success, but now he finds himself with two colleagues who are very young and don't understand the way the world worked at one point.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask Courtney and Shime if Greg could use this during his first radio broadcast at WAAF in the morning 34 years ago
34
today.
34 years ago today.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And Courtney and Shime will give you their guess, as will the audience.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Could Greg use a cell phone?
1990. No, they weren't they car phones back then? Like they were in your console?
Any form of phone device outside of your home.
So, I don't know. He probably didn't have access to one, but I think they were available at the time, correct?
Let's lock it in. Courtney, what's your guess?
No, my guess is no. He couldn't use it, but there was probably some type of landline.
Yes.
Right. There was the phone.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Bell, thank you for that. No, in 1990, less than 1% of Americans used a cellular phone.
Wow.
Yeah. So they were available.
Yeah, they were available.
Yeah, but like it was $30,000 or something.
But
like,
so I'm right.
Yeah, less than what? Yes, you would be technically right.
No, Shime, you're right.
But basically, there was no you. If you wanted to call somebody, you wanted to figure out how to do something for the show or whatever, it was the landline. That was it.
Or the payphone.
But then, how did people call the show?
Payphone.
If they wanted to call the show,
the house.
What is going? What's going on here?
Oh, a lovely gift.
Lovely gift.
Oh, a gift for
Ernie. Oh, my God.
What is going on here? It's not even it's like the 58th birthday. It's not even the 60th birthday.
Oh, my God. Nice. Is that a Lamborghini?
Oh, my.
It's a very nice basket of wine. And
I'll go through that for you and tell you what you've got.
Yes. I bet you will.
Thank you, Stan.
There you go.
Oh,
wow,
thank you.
Thank you.
Shime, you were spot on, though.
Thank you, Wiggy.
All right.
Can I just ask one more thing? Because I understand that there were landlines, but I'm saying if somebody's in their car and Greg says, call the Greg Hill show, the Hillman show, whatever, how were they able to?
They were not.
Okay.
You'd have to pull over and use a payphone.
So no one.
They had to pull over and use
a payphone.
In order to call, in order to call and be on a radio show, you had to do it from home or from the office.
So you probably had much less traffic when it comes to calls.
Because the only people that
it was a little difficult.
The only people that had cell phones were drug dealers and gangsters.
Okay.
Back in that day,
you had a beeper though back then.
Yeah, everybody had a beeper.
Is this hotel beeper friendly?
Call me, beep me if you want to reach me.
All right, this game is off to a great start.
Yeah.
Could you at any point send a text message with a phone of any kind in 1990?
No.
Both correct. The first text message, 1992.
Wow.
Really?
Interesting.
I thought it was later than that, too.
So, for those wondering, there was no such thing as the Subaru of New England text line.
No.
You could not, your listeners could not send you a text message during your show. For a considerable amount of years when I did it at WAA.
Wow, you must have felt like the man back then. Because whatever you did, you didn't get criticized.
Nobody said anything. That's right.
They just thought it.
Technically, Curtis might be right, but you actually could send a text message. You had to do it through your beeper in the form of numbers where you could then turn the beeper upside down.
That's how
read
you got
it.
Your drugs.
Oh, like with the calculator.
Like boobs?
Yes.
Yeah. Like you could do it. There was way, you know, that's how people sent text messages back. They were number-based. Like 143 was I love boobs.
Oh, yeah.
That's how somebody asked for nudes back in the day.
So you could technically send the text.
I was
0085.
Okay, Shy, we get it. You like boobs. Has there ever been a form of communication that so quickly replaced another? In other words, the text has reshaped how we all communicate.
Oh, my God. And it's changed this sociologically, changed the way people interact with other human beings.
Yeah.
Like, it's like completely changed. Like, you used to have to put effort into getting somebody on the phone and communicating with them and finding out. Now it takes you 5 seconds and you're done and you don't have to have a real meaningful interaction with another human being.
Well, even when I was growing up, like, I used to have to talk to people's parents to ask, you know, is Chris home?
Right.
Like my crush, Chris.
Right.
And the worst part about the original text message in the beginning is it took forever to do because you had to go through like each number to get the actual letter.
Oh, yeah,
and so it took forever to do. So you were just, my best friend is the only person who still to this day, and he started back in the 90s, won't answer a phone but will text you all day, every day.
I don't even know if we did it in college when I was at BC. I feel like we didn't.
Text message?
Yeah.
Pretty good game, Chris.
I like
Continue.
It.
I like it.
Okay, one more, or a couple more, actually. We have all day here.
Yeah.
When you were on the highway, did you have any opportunity to pay with an electronic device on your dash?
Ooh, like the Fast Pass.
Correct.
So when I was driving to work.
In 1990.
1990. Could I use the Fast Pass?
No, you couldn't.
No?
I bet there was a form. I bet there was like a prepaid sticker you had on.
Okay.
Shime for the win.
Yeah.
Easy Pass was not introduced until 1998.
Yeah. Classic toll workers.
Yeah, toll workers.
Had to have change on you at all.
Actual human being. You had to have the actual change. Yeah. There was one that was not staffed by a human being.
Oh, those were
the
best.
And you would drive by and throw the exact change in, and then it would let you, the gate would go up and let you go through. But other than that, you had to get to an actual human being.
Right.
If you didn't have the money, which happened to me frequently, they would give you a little form and you would fill it out and promise to pay later.
Ooh, an IOU.
Yeah.
Yes.
That happened to me once in New York. Yes. I also have heard that toll workers, like, the highest rate of suicide in
the
country.
Really?
I did not know that. Or you knew somebody.
It's a lonely job.
Right?
It's a very lonely
job. Or you knew somebody and they would let you go in for free.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know.
Or you knew, and you
that
knew
was
like
criminal. You knew criminal.
You knew, like, well, yeah, remember going for, we had them in East Boston.
Yeah.
So if you knew where your buddy worked, you'd go to that toll and you save yourself 50
50
cents.
The state. Yes.
Well, I mean, the state's got enough money.
Okay, so you couldn't text in 1990, but could you send an electronic message from a computer?
Oh, ooh.
Like a fax?
Email. I mean, an email.
Oh. Yeah.
Yes.
In 1990?
No, I take it back, no.
I will say yes.
Ooh.
Courtney for the win, good rebound.
Right?
Hotmail did not introduce free internet until 1996.
So, like, what about work? Like, how would you communicate for work?
You want to know how? If you were gonna send a group email, you would type it out on the typewriter, and then you would go and print 20 copies of it. And leave it in everybody's work mailbox. Huh. That's how you sent an email to everybody.
Really?
Every single time you wanted to do it.
So there were computers in 1990. There just was no free internet?
No email, yeah.
It used to be that dial-up sound,
right?
The first
email was sent.
No, even before
that. It was, what's that?
I think it wasn't before even like the dial-up internet. Didn't you have to like load the internet with like a CD?
Yes.
And they were like free trials?
Yes.
Those were floppy disks.
Yes, floppy disks. Yes.
So there was no email in 90.
Make sure you keep the K, the S, and the K.
Wait, the typewriter thing has me a bit thrown.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you have a copy machine?
Yes.
Okay, so you could copy, you didn't have to retype it a million times.
No, you would just type it, copy it, and put it in everybody's mailbox.
So, when you got to work in 1990, Greg, I'm sure you could find yourself in front of some device where you could go and read news stories around the world.
Hmm.
Could you do that, Shime or Courtney?
No.
No.
That's
nailed
why they
it.
Had the newspaper.
No. Boston.com landed in 1995, and it died when they wrote 6 stories about me and none about anybody else. The losing sack of crap of those people.
Correct. In order to do a radio show, you had to buy physically every single newspaper and then flip through them and cut out the stories that you wanted to talk about on that.
Was that like
show.
My job? Like if I was working in 1990, I would have to like pick up the newspapers on the way in and hand them out to everybody.
Yes, and hand them out to everybody, and then everybody would cut their stories out and bring their stories.
And if you were lucky enough to be like me in 2013, you worked with people who still operated that way, and you had to buy the newspapers and highlight and everything.
We were still doing that. We were still doing that right before you got here.
They were just
printing them off on pieces of paper and saying, all right, this is from the newspaper. Like, really?
Right. The biggest shock to Greg, no Resi in 1990.
And so you had like a tape room as well, like a records room where you would...
Yes, where all the records... No, all the records were in the studio.
Okay, and you would actually physically take them out to play them on the radio.
Yes, you physically take them out, put them on the turntable, start them up, and then you'd write... There was a little index card on the album, and you'd write when you played the song so that everybody else would wait for another couple of days.
So it was a vinyl day.
So that everybody wasn't playing the
song. You were using vinyl
then?
Okay.
Yes.
And so how did artists make money off of you playing the music on the radio?
Every year they still do it the same way. They still like figure out. They do like one day where they monitor everything. Every radio station keeps track of what they played, and then they extrapolate it and figure out how.
No, it was back then. It was because it was free advertising to buy the record, to buy the CD.
Yeah, but you still had to pay ASCAP fees.
Like, the radio stations did?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
They still did.
Wow. So thank you, Greg. God bless you. Here's the 34 more years.
Oh, Curtis, a little trip down memory lane.
Good one.
Thank you so much for reminding me how old I am. We will be right back. It is a Patriots Friday, and some question about who will start for the New England Patriots on Sunday, although it is looking more and more like Drake May.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Curtis is concerned, as some should be, that there is another injury or there is a compounded concussion of sorts or something that occurs, but... Mm-hmm.
What's the only way this season is a real failure?
Drake May
gets hurt and is unable to participate in training camp.
Right. Either he's awful or not what we thought, talent-wise, perform.
But that's been looking the other way.
Right. Or he suffers some kind of catastrophic injury to his head that impedes his future ability to play. And I'm not saying I know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know anything about this. I'm just going by what people have told me that are far smarter than I am, which is that the closer the proximity to the concussion, the more damaging it is. And a concussion is a progressive issue, meaning each one you get is worse than the one you had before.
Yeah, but like I look at it the same way I do with any injury. Like he could suffer any catastrophic injury in a football game.
It's but if he blows out a knee, everything, he's back by next fall.
But Curtis is right that it's more, you know, there would be more damage done if he is to get concussed again, if he's to get hit, you know, on Sunday.
Yeah, but
Tua's had four of them, and he keeps coming back.
Oh, yeah. He's the guy you can build around.
No, but I'm just saying.
My point. Okay.
This one didn't look like a Tua concussion at all.
No, it was barely even like a hit to the head. Like, he was like, yeah, I can go play in the second half.
Right. If he was like frozen solid or that kind of thing.
It would be different.
You might be like, let him rest for a minute. But it was like one of those things. Unless you were at the game and talking to him, you wouldn't have known that he had a concussion.
Yeah. Like Davante Adams got pulled from the game last night and miraculously came back in the second half of the fourth quarter. Yeah. Like,
have a concussion.
He had what we would call getting your bell rung.
Right, exactly.
Right, yes, it's a concussion technically, but it's not the he's out cold, he's drunk, what we call it, or he's frozen.
Yeah. How many times would you guess getting your bell rung happened to you in your NFL career?
A lot.
100?
Yeah, I couldn't put in a lot of times. Because you'll be like, whoa, you know, like, you'll get hit and you'll get up and, like, things will be spinning and you're like, you know, and I used to just water to the face, like, all right, have to shake it off for a second. But that happens, like, constantly, you know, especially if you're in the trenches and you're just hitting people in general.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, it happens all the time, so.
And then from Splinter in the Twitch chat, you can watch this show every day on Twitch. Just go to Twitch and follow WEEI. What do you gain from playing him this week? Wiggy, you've said it a million times. He gains that experience.
Yeah, he does. But I don't mind if you sit him for a week.
Guess who wants to jump in? Everyday listener, Rob Ninkovich.
Okay.
Morning, Ninko.
What's up, guys? I'm just heading into school. We were a little slow start, but I was listening to the discussion here on Drake May, if he should play. Hell yeah, he should play. He should play.
Yes.
Dude, this is football, man. This is a contact physical sport that you sign up to play, and you're getting paid a decent amount of money to do it. I understand, okay, he got hit in the head last week, but he wasn't KO'd. He wasn't sleeping. He didn't do the fencing position like we've seen time and time again. So I honestly think he got hit in the head. Independent neurologist, take him to the tent. Okay, so he got hit. All right, take him out. But when you pass all the stuff that you go through all week, you do your running, you do your testing, you go in, you do your baseline before the season, you come and do the test again, and he passes all that, yeah, go play. This is football. Like, you're going to get hit. If you're a linebacker, you're going to get hit. If you're a lineman, we all know at some point you're going to get hurt. So I just think you got to put him out there, and you got to continue to progress on his evolution.
But for those that say, what do you gain by playing him this week as opposed to waiting 1 week?
I mean, confidence. Continue to grow. Like, dude, you're doing well. I think Dan Marino, like the only two guys to have the touchdowns and the yardage in his first two games.
Yeah,
so
you have
the potential here to continue to build. And then the receivers, like, man, they need to continue to grow as well. You know, some of those throws, one of those throws that he made before he went down was an insane throw. Got out of the pocket on the run, threw a dime like 50 yards down the field. So you just got to continue to grow with your first year, continue to get, and he's not, listen, when you're a football player, unless you're play for the Colts and you tap out because you're too tired, you know, you're tough. And Mayo, listen, hey, where's all the talk about the toughness and we're a soft team? You know, listen, there are motivators in football. And when you hear things that motivate you, you go out there and you try to perform at a high level. I think they won last week. Great. They got a win. Awesome. Everyone's happy. Media is a little more clear. They're playing a football team that this is a winnable game. I think they're going to win. So you could put Drake May out there, and they have a much better shot of winning.
I love it. Nico, I look at it. You know more than I. I'll defer to you. I don't know what they gain, but I'll listen to you here. Just on the concussion topic, have you ever seen a more heroic performance following a massive concussion than what Julian Edelman did in Super Bowl 49?
I mean, Julian is a beast. Julian is one of those guys. I know if I was in a street fight, I'm calling Julian, because he might not be the biggest guy, but he's going to bite someone's ear off. I'm telling you, and that's just the way Jules is. But no, listen, and Wiggy knows this. We have seen guys play multiple unbelievable games severely concussed. I mean, it's just unfortunately, that's the way that the game goes. I mean, last night, honestly, you know, watching the Jets game, which was a terrible game, and they pull it out. The receiver they traded for,
Davante Adams,
when he hit the ground and he was knocked out, but they were like, they brought him like, oh, it's his shoulder. I'm like, no, he landed on the back of his head. And they came back from break, and they're like, they're checking his shoulder. I'm like, dude, the guy hit his head on the ground, and he was limp. Like, yes, he hit his head. He was knocked out. And then he comes back and scores a touchdown. So, like, there's always situations where guys are dinged up, and they're out there playing, and your instincts take over. But, you know, again, I think that that's just part of the game, and you know, you're not going to be able to remove it. I mean, look at the Browns. They had a guy in a guardian cap, like, on a stretcher, right? Like, You can't stop the game from being physical. It's a physical game.
Yeah. By the way, I got a text. What happened on the last play of the when you were coaching last weekend?
Oh, so last play we were coaching, we had a like 30 seconds left in the game. We're up. Hail Mary, kind of similar to the Bears Commanders game.
Yeah.
Ball kind of goes up in the air, flutters. Kid comes down with it, scores, ties the game up, overtime. And, you know, I came up short. But guess what? I'm learning from it.
There you go.
Poor coaching.
It's a learning experience.
Yeah, I know. I could have ran out there myself, but I couldn't do it.
Somebody's got to be boxing out on that.
Yeah.
You could talk to Wiggy about coaching.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a Hail Mary. It wasn't to the end zone. It was to the 50. So the kid caught it and then ran it in.
Oh,
he got behind coverage.
Oh, he got run all over the place.
Behind coverage, yeah. Didn't help that he was probably 10 and forged his birth certificate.
is he done?
He's a foot taller than everybody.
Is he sitting all next year when he's 11? I mean, is that what you're doing?
No, we'll be fine. We're 8. We're 8. We're learning. We're good. Eight-year-olds.
Okay. Oh, some of them do sprout up a little bit earlier.
You're saying you took on the football equivalent of Danny Almonte?
Yeah. That happens.
I'd like to be the equivalent of Dicka, but that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Come.
Yes, I. Some.
You guys
also,
have a good Halloween. Everything's good. You guys I saw Wiggy in that terrifying outfit yesterday.
You know, I love to scare. That's my favorite time of the year is Halloween.
What did the kids dress as?
Oh, me too.
Rob.
Considering it was 80 degrees, a gorilla for my youngest was not a good idea. He took it off because it was too hot. We had a ninja and a pirate, and I had an Uncle Chuckles. I have this mask called Uncle Chuckles. He comes out every year. He sits out in front.
Mm-hmm.
He hands candy to the kids. Very scary,
yeah,
but it's
the
fun.
Old man.
It's Wiggy.
Yep.
I think it's guys that have head trauma. We think it's the best day of the year. You know, we just like to scare people.
I love to scare the kids.
It is that's a thing. Like, like adults like scaring little kids.
I love it. I love it. I remember walking around in East Boston, just like, you know, in this scary costume. It's kids.
You were a kid when you were in East Boston.
No, this was like an adult when we used to go to Eastie to trick or treat with our kids. But it's good scaring little kids. It toughens them up, I would say.
Rob, do you get a lot of trick or treaters?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a good amount. I give them the big scoop. Everyone is happy about it. I don't do the big bar though. I'm not that guy that has like the king size.
Yeah, well, sugar is a real problem.
I just do a big scoop. But my kids are, when you do scare people and your kids have seen masks and been scared since they were infants, like it doesn't even faze them. So I'm trying to toughen them up.
Yeah,
you know.
So you got to do them and scare them when they're young.
All right, Robert.
Scare them when they're young.
Thanks for calling.
All right, guys. Have a great one.
Appreciate it. Thanks for calling. All right. That is Rob Ninkovich. Yeah. We'll be right back.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.